Next slide, number five. Because of the scientific accuracy, just the last few chapters of the book of Job would be enough to prove that the Bible is not from this earth, it's extraterrestrial. Have you ever read an old biology book? Have you ever looked at an old astronomy textbook? So much has changed. In fact, nearly every area of science is in flux. Change, restatement, casting out the old disproved statements. Often there's complete error and mistaken theories, but not with God. He says it right the first time. So the seven reasons to trust the Bible, Jesus trusted the Bible. All the authors affirmed thousands of times that they were speaking God's word. It's united, even though they're so disparate and never seeing each other and reading the prophecies. But look at the scientific accuracy. Now, let's pause on this one for a second, okay? Because there's so much in the news about science and science disproving and scientific study and scientific experts. Let's look at the truest scientific expert, God himself, okay? In your slides, the next one. The Bible has ultimate science. Job 38:19 declares what we would call the astrophysics of dark matter. Did you know that 99% of the mass of the universe is dark matter and we didn't even know what it is? Now look up. What did Job say? God divides the light from darkness. Now wait a minute. Job was writing way back. Job probably lived before Abraham. How do we know that? Because Job said he saw mountains of ice, and we know where he lived. He lived in the Middle East. Mountains of ice. What did Job see? Glaciers. Job lived not too long after the flood. And Job said God divides light from darkness. Now, we've always been taught that darkness is the absence of light, and all you do is bring light and darkness is gone. But Job said, no, there is light and it can be divided from something else, something that exists that is called darkness. Darkness, actually, there are properties to darkness. And guess what? In physics, they began to realize as they were looking at the balance of the universe and the weight and the mass that the things that we see, the visible in the light, is only a tiny fraction, and that the invisible part, what we'll look back at your slide, 99% of the mass of the universe is dark matter. We don't even know what it is. Here's another thing Job said. The astrophysics of gravity. He talks about the gravitational tug of stars and systems. What did he say? Well, we were just outside last night and looking up, and Bonnie says, oh, there's the constellation. I said, yeah, that's Orion. And my son said, but what's that one over there? And I said, oh, that's the Pleiades. And those are the only two that are mentioned in the Bible as being held together gravitationally. There is a gravitational tug between the seven stars of the Pleiades and between the stars that are in the constellation of Orion's belt. And you know what the Bible says? And Job, look back down at your slide. In Job 38:31, it says, who can bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades? That's a great description of gravity, the sweet influence. Here's another one, oceanography. There are teeming life systems surrounding the toxic hot springs 2 miles down the dark ocean, and Job talks about those. Ornithology, the study of birds, animal migratory navigation, wasn't even closely imitated until satellite navigation, yet God talks about what he built into fish, birds, and even insects. And how about zoology? What's amazing for scientists is how do those sockeye salmon find their way home 4,000 miles? Every year. Here's how. God has placed some nearly unbelievable senses into those animals and migratory birds. They fly thousands of miles exactly to their destination. How? Scientists think they must have a sense of Earth's magnetic fields like an internal compass. Now, look up and think about this. If God made birds and animals and insects have all of these incredible guidance systems. Ask yourself this question. The King of the universe, our Creator, couldn't have left us out. He gave us a compass. Our directional capacity far exceeds the animal world's awareness of magnetic fields, or as the salmons do, one part per billion of where we respond. We have a direct line to our Creator. We have Him, and He has everything we'll ever need. We can know God through His Word, and when we open this up, we can actually have direction given to us from the very Creator of oceanography, astrophysics, and of the migratory abilities of insects and birds and fish. That same Creator says, I want to live inside of you. I want to live out through you. I want to show you the path of life. I'm not just going to program in magnetic field stuff. I'm going to actually move in. I'm going to show you the path of life. Back to your slides. Ultimate science is in the Bible. Number six, archaeological excavation. In the 19th century, Sir William Ramsay, an English skeptic, set about to disprove the historicity of God's Word. He took as his target one of those great books of the Bible, the Book of Acts. He started digging in ancient Asia Minor, modern Turkey. Now look up. He actually took a Bible. I mean, this was a rich kid from England that was going to disprove the Christianity that of the church that his parents had made him go to. And so this rich kid took an expedition to Turkey and said, hey, I'm just going to take the Bible, the Book of Acts, and if it says that Paul sailed and landed and walked 3 days inland and went to Pisidian Antioch, I'm going to excavate and see if there is a Antioch in Pisidia. That's actually what he did. He took a boat to the same port where Paul sailed in his missionary journeys that's listed, and he walked with his little party of excavators for 3 days up the valley into the interior, and when they got to the third day's walk, he said, put down the equipment, take out your shovels, and start digging. Guess what? They discovered for the first time since Roman times a city buried. And when they excavated it, the name of the city was the same name that's in the Book of Acts. And that was just the start. His books, the travels of Ramsay, he has a book this thick of all his archaeological findings trying to disprove the Bible. Look back at your slide. What he found amazed the world of archaeology. Not only were all the cities of Paul that he spoke of traveling through actually there, even the words that Paul used to describe the public officials were found beneath the ruins, exactly as recorded in Acts by Luke. Ramsay became a believer because of the profound historic reliability of God's Word. Now look up for just a second. I was taking a group not too many months back on a journey through the journeys of Paul, the missionary journeys of Paul. We were in Greece, and we did all the different regions and flew between them in Greece. And one of my favorite ones is this exact event. Up in Thessalonica, the second largest city of Greece, there's this giant museum, and on the wall, they have the plate that was found on the gate of the city of Thessalonica. In the Bible, it calls the rulers of Thessalonica ethnarchs. That's just their name in the Bible. And everybody said, oh, that's not even a word, until they excavated Thessalonica. And there on the entryway to the city, it says, the ethnarchs of Thessalonica greet you. And I took the people to the museum. I said, look, there's another one here, right here. Archaeological verification of the reasons you should trust the Bible. Jesus did the apostles, the unity, the prophecy, the scientific accuracy. That's why we should trust God's Word.